It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, good to see you once again. You have quite a counseling practice, and occasionally some of your clients suggest topics for your shows. And why don't you tell us about what the scenario there
for this one? I love it when people do that. Gives me takes part of the work out of it for me. No, I had a good Christian couple that I've been talking to, and the topic of forgiveness came up, and they suggested, you know, you should do another show on forgiveness. And I thought, that's probably a good idea. You know, the discussion of forgiveness in counseling is almost inevitable, and particularly in relationship counseling, but certainly in Christian counseling. But I've been surprised at the number of clients that are not Christians who bring up the idea of forgiveness. And sometimes I want to wonder, ask them why. Why is forgiveness? Because forgiveness to me seems to be it's
spiritual.
It's something of God's nature and
not our nature.
And so when people have not God's nature, but I think they must sense something in their soul that forgiveness, even though they don't understand it, it somehow is some sort is a bridge in relationships. So I thought I want to talk about steps to forgiveness, but of course, before we do that, we should probably talk about what forgiveness is. That would be the better order.
Okay.
So what is biblical forgiveness? We talk about secular idea of forgiveness, but it all starts here, so this is the best place to start and end, really. Some scriptures here that I'll refer to during the show here as we go on. There's Luke 7:48. This is, I believe, Luke's account of, if I'm not mistaken, it's very similar to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 and 6. In Luke 7, Jesus is talking about the importance of forgiveness. In Matthew, he says that, Matthew's account, it's Jesus says that if you don't forgive those that trespass you, neither can your heavenly Father forgive you. In Luke, he talks about forgiving, the importance of forgiving, and then he uses another word. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And then we have in Luke 7:48 is Jesus talking to the woman who was found in adultery, and says, "Your sins are forgiven you." Mm-hmm. So Scripture implies like two aspects of forgiveness, doesn't it? On the one hand, sins are forgiven, as in Luke 7:48, but on the other hand, people are forgiven, as in Luke 23:34, overlooking the offense, and then in addition to that, offering or the offering or the continuance of something, primarily, I think, relationship, offering of yourself in relationship. One of the Greek words that's used in the New Testament, aphemi, has to do with sending away, putting away, and so we get the idea. That's what we typically think of as forgiveness, is putting away our sins, putting away the fault, putting the fault behind us. And it does have that word does have that connotation, but it has another connotation as well, and that is granting permission or permitting. So you have these two sides of this word. In English, we call it forgiveness. It has these two aspects, sending away, putting away, but at the same time, almost 180 degrees in the other direction, permitting, giving permission to. In the chapter in Luke 6:38, where Jesus is talking about the importance of forgiving, and he says, instead of saying, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven, he says, give and it will be given unto you, shaken, not stirred. Or no, press down full measure.
That's a different movie.
So, didota, so it's a prolonged sense of this verb to give, and so it's not just an instantaneous event, but it's a prolonged event. It's like placing something before someone or putting it out there, a lengthy giving or a prolonged giving. Hebrew has a number of words that are also interpreted in English as forgiving. And again, the Hebrew words have these two sides, to erase, to pardon, but also to exalt and reinstate. So clearly, forgiveness, biblical forgiveness, has two aspects. It's not just a canceling of a debt, but there's something in addition. It's the giving. So I think the English actually does a pretty good job of this.
Hmm.
Has the prefix for, that's the canceling of the debt. And then there's the root word give, so forgive. So it's not merely, again, the canceling of a debt, but there's giving. Question that came to mind for me was, can you cancel a debt without forgiving or giving? And I think that married couples often try to do that. I often hear in the midst of reporting the issues and talking to me about where the problems are, where the issues lie, I'll often hear, well, I've forgiven, but. And so they think that that the canceling or the overlooking of the offense is the end of it. And if that's all you do in forgiving and there's no giving, what you'd wind up doing is keeping tally. So this offense is going to come back up.
Mm.
It hasn't been forgiven. You tried to cancel it, tried to blot it out of your mind, but somehow it just didn't go. It's still there, and it comes up at some later time as fuel for an argument. The power of forgiving is all in the giving. The power of forgiving is all in the giving. Again, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down full measure. The power of forgiving is in the giving. It's not in the overlooking. So moving on here, why is forgiveness important? And I have a number of points here. First point is that I think forgiveness, obviously, giving is God's nature. Think of water running downhill, a river, a stream running downhill, and you try to put up some sort of a small barrier or dam, and it just goes right over the top.
Mm.
God just gives, like water going downhill. You can't stop it. You can put a dam up, but it will. You have to keep draining the dam, don't you? Because the water keeps building up and building up. It just keeps coming. So we see that in order to understand God's nature, I have to understand His giving and His forgiving. I'm reminded a little bit here of Matthew 18, where Peter asks Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" And Jesus, Peter said, "Forgive him seven times." And of course, Jesus said, "70 times seven." What happens after 70 times 7 in the that Jesus is talking about? That's 49. The next number, 50, is the number of Jubilee, you know.
So, oh, okay. Mm.
So in the year of Jubilee, all the debts were wiped clean and you start from scratch. So what Jesus is saying to Peter is, in 70 times 7, the Jubilee of Jubilees, Jesus is saying to Peter, well, you forgive until the year of Jubilee. Of course, then you start over. Say, well, what if I have to forgive them 70 times 7 and then 1. Well, no, you can't because you're starting over. It's just 1 again. And then 70 times 7 again. So the idea is it's like the giving of God. You just don't stop. You don't stop.
So I always thought he took that figure just out of the air, but you think he was pointing toward
No, he's definitely 50. Pointing to the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, okay. All the debts, all the property goes back to the original owners, the debts are wiped off.
Mm.
So he was telling Peter, you know, you come up to that point, but then you start over. Mm. You get a reset.
Mm.
So it's like the nature of God. Secondly, forgiving is fundamental to relationships. I think relationships at their core are mutual giving. That's how they grow. They grow in proportion to the giving. And so that's at their very core. So then generally speaking, this implies and requires vulnerability. Think about it. Because we're fallen, there are always going to be things that I have to overlook in another person. I can always think of some reason not to give myself to that other person or not to give to that other person. So in one sense, to some degree, all giving in human relationships is forgiving because there's always some degree of offense. I sometimes think of a married couple in the kitchen cooking, and somebody bumps into somebody. And what you typically hear in healthy relationships is, oops, you know, sorry. And the other person says, oh, it's okay. And right. And right there, that was forgiving. What is given is they continue to their relationship. That little bump on the arm didn't mean we could get a divorce, or we should maybe move out and to separate. We just keep, you know, it's almost inconsequential. It's just water under the bridge. Mm-hmm. But what we don't realize is that is actually an act of forgiving. So overlooking faults is required in much of our mutual giving to some degree. Another reason that forgiveness is important is forgiveness gets right to the root of our propensity for self-absorption. Mm-hmm. One of the things we've talked a lot about on this show is that life is a pursuit of value, control, and power. And that is because we're mortal and we know we're mortal. So at the root of our personality is this degree of self-interest. It's actually fear and shame based. And so it takes us right to our acknowledgement of our immortality. And so we don't like to think about ourselves as being frail or weak. And so the lack of forgiveness or forgiving it takes us to the root of that, and actually it helps us to get past that when we make it about not about myself, but it's about someone else. And we tend to think that in our natural way of thinking that my value, the degree to which I'm valued, that's my responsibility. I have to take I have to hold territory. I've got to stick up for myself and control. Not that I want to control other people, but I don't like being controlled, and so I probably do have to control other people in order to keep from being controlled. And so we get in this thing where we're fighting for a sense of value, control, and I say power or resources, which can be anything from, you know, money or looks or education or anything that gives me a sense of value, control, and power. So we're pursuing these things, and somehow forgiveness, when we're truly giving to other people, we get the opportunity to put those things into God's hands and to trust God. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit about why we don't like forgiveness, and kind of touching on it here, but talk about why we don't like forgiveness, and then also closing up with some steps to forgiveness to try to give some insights on you know, how we might go about that, because it's not always easy.
Okay, talking about forgiveness this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. If you are in a relationship, a marriage relationship, or some kind of individual counseling need, Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Offices Kirkland Edmonds, also doing Skype or Zoom counseling for convenience. And people can also contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. 6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is taking us through forgiveness, what it's about, what it maybe is not about. And you asked the provocative question here in our second segment, why do we dislike forgiveness? Who dislikes forgiveness? Maybe dislikes giving forgiveness, but
yeah, I think we like being forgiven.
Right.
Yeah. we don't like to forgive all the time. At least that's what I find in, I think any honest person would say that forgiveness can be difficult. I think even in the best of marriages, dad and mom get into an argument and, nobody wants to be the first one to lay the argument aside and say, I think I've been wrong. Would you forgive me? Nobody wants to be the first one really to do that. In small things like the example I brought up before the break where, a couple is cooking or doing some project together and, somebody bumps into somebody or drops something or those inconsequential things are typically easy to get by. They almost go unnoticed. But again, when it's an issue that challenges my sense of personal value and control and power, those issues they're quite a bit different because they touch on the mortality. In asking one couple, asked the question, why don't we like to forgive? And the man expressed it as, why would I want to make myself that vulnerable? And it's true that asking forgiveness puts me in a place of vulnerability. From the outside looking in, forgiveness seems like I'm giving permission to the other person just to continue to do what they did, to continue the offense again. Again, back to Peter's words, how often should I, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? And Jesus said, as we were talking before the break, implied that it never stops. 70 times 7, and then there's the year of Jubilee, and then you start from scratch again, so it's like it never happened. You have to forgive him up until the year of Jubilee again, and then you start again because it's all back to scratch. So you don't get it counted off. But it feels like giving permission. It feels like turning the other cheek. Boy, who wants to turn the other cheek? When you're in an argument with someone, when there's been an offense, it's typically true that each person feels, at least it's to some degree, some justification for what they did. So asking a person to forgive you feels like a step down, turning the other cheek. It seems like surrender. Seems like you're surrendering something. And in fact, you are surrendering something. But we expose a certain tenderness, I think, when we ask forgiveness in the true spirit of asking forgiveness. But I think we've all heard forgiveness asked for in not a true spirit. Mm. I think I can hear a voice in my head saying, "All right, well, will you forgive me?"
Right. Well, just, if I offended you, forgive me. Yeah. Then I'm sorry.
Yeah. And it probably goes both ways, you know. Mm. All right, I forgive you. So we drop our defenses when we're offering forgiveness, or when we're asking for forgiveness, we drop our defenses. When we're offering forgiveness, we drop our defenses. We drop our entitlements. I think a lot of arguments could be avoided if couples would ask themselves, or each person would ask himself or herself, "What am I really entitled to?" So we put aside our entitlements, it seems like, and we don't like that. We don't like that. And I was talking about it exposes the tenderness. I meant to go on with this. What is tenderness? Well, that's tenderness. That sounds like the fruits of the Spirit. That's a godly attribute. Mm. But it's contrary to our sinful nature. And so that's, I think, where the rub comes in. Overlooking a debt, granting someone amnesty, that's easier to do because I get to retain my superiority. I get to bestow or give permission to, but I get to retain my superiority. But when I'm asked to give to the other person and be a servant to the other person, I might feel used. And the truth of this all then is what I'm doubting God's sovereignty when I question the power of forgiveness, and when I question the value of forgiveness, and when I question the effectiveness of forgiveness or the fairness of forgiveness, when I question those things, I'm doubting God's sovereignty and really, really failing to understand His purpose in life. We get the idea that God's purpose in life somehow serves me. We would never confess that, but if we stop and look at the way we live our lives and the way that we often treat other people, and specifically here, we withhold forgiveness. We really do act like it's about us and not about a plan or a purpose that God has in life in general, in your life and in life in general. So closing up here with steps to forgiveness, obviously it's not adequate just to use the word, I forgive. It's sort of like saying, Lord, I glorify you, and then that's good enough for, it doesn't really have anything to do with the way I live my life. I just use the word.
Right.
So when we just say, you know, I forgive you, that's not, there's nothing given. There could be, but not necessarily. It's more than just the words. So what are the steps to real forgiveness? I probably want to start and close, or at least start. You might forget to close off this way, but forgiveness is not just a moment. It's a lifestyle. Dedota, again, that prolonged giving. You're placing yourself there. You're placing your gift there. You're putting it out there, and it's a prolonged giving. Again, like the nature of God, just water going downhill. This is what God wants in the body of Christ, his brand of giving. Step number one would be consider the magnitude of God's forgiveness for me. That's helpful to me. If I have a grudge against someone, or if I think someone's offended me, and this is, again, some of these are more difficult than others, but if I feel that I've really been offended about something, or if I just feel that someone is offensive, you know, I think a lot of times today it's easy to have harbor things against people that we don't even know, like political figures. And that could be a show in itself. You know, how do you forgive someone that's not in your social group? Well, you give them humanity. You give them that they also have a destiny in God, and that you can be a part of that in prayer. But consider, I like to consider the magnitude of God's forgiveness for me, where he's brought me from. Mm-hmm. The second one would be consider the cost of disobedience, the distance from God, and the effects of the root of bitterness in your own life. You know, that unforgiveness doesn't turn out well. Mm. It can affect your health. It certainly affects your relationship with God. Thirdly, consider the goal of salvation. This is not about me. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the glory of God. And I'm not the center. I'm not center stage here. There's a greater goal in avoiding forgiveness or withholding forgiveness. I am getting off course. I can't even hear God when I get a heart like this, let alone follow him. Fourthly, and I touched on this a bit, consider that that other person has a destiny in God, and you're a part of that. And then closing here, be honest with God. You know, say to God, I don't want to do this, but I want to be obedient. I don't want to forgive this person, but I want to be obedient. And then don't wait for the feelings before you say the words, because the feeling, remember, is in the giving. The power of forgiveness is in the giving, not in the saying of it, or not in the word itself. And then closing, it's not a moment, it's a lifestyle. It's that prolonged giving. So I hope that helps to explain forgiveness. You'll find this at the podcast on BibleBasedCounselor.com. You can repeat this.
Yeah, you've had several shows like this on there, lots of shows, several years' worth of podcasts. People are intrigued. They want to know more about your counseling services, your life coaching services. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also doing Skype and Zoom for convenience, and offices Kirkland Edmonds.
Used to have Bellevue
Further north now. And people also contact me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind Broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.